All right, today is Spiritual Warfare. The Dark Army is what it's titled. If you would turn to 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. Again, this is a tool to help you understand, if you read the last paragraph in the back. Not everything. I don't want us to look at everything as demonic. Okay? I want us to look at it with wisdom and understand that there are other avenues other than our dependencies and stuff. There, the realities of the spirit realm, and we all should be aware of this, is not something that we should take lightly. If anything, because we are spiritual beings, this should be on the forefront of our minds, not the afterthought. Amen? 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. Peter's writing to us. He says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Satan is a real entity. And what I'm going to be speaking about today is first, we're going to come to the swimming pool, and then we're going to dive in. So I want to be able to give you some overview of, in furthering what we went over last week. Last week we talked about how Satan comes in, and because he is a spirit being, he is able to wait out people in the church so he can place his people in the church. And some of the things I discuss with the leaders is, will this ministry survive after I'm gone? And you see, I am acutely aware that Satan wants to destroy this work. He wants to destroy it. And he will wait. If he can't destroy me, if he can't destroy the leadership, and if he can't destroy the local body here, he will wait until such a time as he can infiltrate and get his people into place to do his bidding. And so what we have to understand is that this is real, this is true, and it is going on even as we speak right now. Many churches, I call feel-good churches, are preaching messages to believers that are making them feel good about themselves, but really not hitting home the truth of what is going on. And if you're watching the news, you can see how fast things are accelerating to the end. And so we need to be about Father's business, but also be wise about how we proceed, because we are in the enemy's territory. Amen? We know that God has shown us through the last several weeks of the preaching about spiritual warfare and the truth of spiritual warfare, the reality that we're walking in. But he also warns the believer that everything in this world, we have to live in this world, but we should not be friends of the world. And that's a whole nother teaching in and of itself. But being a friend of the world is not just being friendly towards people. Being a friend of the world is embracing the culture, embracing the magnitude of things that are going on, and living just like the world. And you've heard me say it's getting harder and harder to tell the saints from the ain'ts, because it's so intertwined. And because of that, God warns us not to be friends of the world. He tells us that everything in the world, if we understand fully, and I believe we should, that we are soldiers. We have enlisted into God's army, and we are mandated by God to go out and win the lost, bring his harvest into his house, and replicate Jesus Christ in those saints, that everything contained in this world is contraband to us. It's something that we should not be playing with. It is something that is detrimental to us. And during any great war, if there was contraband found within the ranks of the soldiers, they were severely punished. Why? because that contraband could infiltrate the rest of the squad or the company that they were in, and they would become derelict in duty. This is why Peter warns us that we must be self-controlled and ever diligent or vigilant against what the enemy is doing. We don't want to be contaminated. Just because it looks good doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. Adam and Eve learned that lesson the hard way. And all of us are paying for it. Well, thank God Jesus paid the ultimate for us. We have to make sure that the world's poison does not come into us, because once that poison has been set into us, it is a slow death away from God in our relationship with Him and in the things of God. Meaning, growing up in Christ, understanding your position, knowing who you are in Jesus, the authority and power that you have, etc., etc., etc. First John says, we know that we are children of God, and that the world is under the control of the evil one. That's 1 John 5:19. We are in the enemy's in the enemy's camp. We are in enemy territory. And the enemy will use a lot of things, and especially in Western culture, he uses two specific things in order to dilute, first, the spiritual realities, and second of all, our concern for our neighbor's salvation. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What are these two things? Money and education. Money and education in Western culture is the big thing. Those of us who have seen The Way of the Master, there was a section in there where they were asking people about a wonderful life. And what were their things? Materialism, money, bling, all this other nonsense. Oh, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Others were saying, you know, to go to college, get a good job, get this, get that. And we can see how far the enemy has infiltrated the mindset of God's people. Education and money in and of themselves is not bad. How you use it and accomplish it is. And Satan doesn't want you to understand that God wants to position us. God wants to put us in a place that we can be the most effective. The most effective is that as we become more educated, the goal is not to have more money, although that's a blessing in and of itself, or to have more stuff. The object is to influence those people, because Christ died for everyone. And those that are in positions affluently need to understand that God died for them too, although they don't think that they need a Savior. And we have a few shaking their heads. So what I'm saying is true. Western society has been a great proponent since the later 1800s. They have begun to push education. We had gone from an agrarian society to an industrial society to now we are an informational society. And in those changes of societal waves that come in, there is an element of education that has to come into play. And with that education, there has been a boost in payment. And in that payment, because Adam and Eve lived totally by faith in God's provision, that provision has been changed or altered to now it's a service-reward mindset. And the higher your education, the more earning capacity that you have. It's also the place in where you can be affected the most or be effective the most. Most people today think that an education is great, and no one's refuting that. But Satan has done such an insidious job that once he does a hatchet job in the leadership of the church, he works on the people. Because after all, we have to go to seminary, right? Or I like to say cemetery. Because you're not a real pastor unless you've got a degree after you. You don't know the things of God unless you've been educated. But if that's true, then why are those who have gone and become the professional clergy are the lowest paid in professionals? And so after 5 years, when they realize that they're not making the money that they thought with all the perks and bennies and stuff, they leave the ministry and they take their education and they move on to bigger and better things. Because after all, it's God has moved us out. God has. The fact of the matter is that even though the heart of the servant of God is good and wanted to be educated and wanted to do the things of God, they have not been trained properly in order to do the work of the ministry which God himself wants to teach. And we see Paul as a great example that Paul, who was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, he had the education. He knew the Bible inside out, upside down, and all around. And yet he counted it as dung in knowing the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now you guys have been blessed because I've had an outstanding history of education. I've been to the desert and I've been sitting with the Holy Spirit for years. And so, you know, my education is Holy Ghost education. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I do know this. I do know Jesus and I know his heart and I know what he wants for his people. And he wants us to be in position to do his bidding when he says to do it. In the meantime, all this is practice for us. And the tools that he gives to us is only to further his purpose and his kingdom. And no high education is going to do anything. We know that education puffs up, love edifies. And so his servants must have a heart of love. Love God, love each other in such a way that we can be effective in going into highways and byways in the love of the Spirit of God to win them back to him who created them. Amen? What happens? Here's the scenario in Western society that happens. We get an education. We go through high school and then we go to college. Because after all, college is the way to go. Everyone needs a higher education. I don't happen to subscribe to it, but that's my opinion. But if God is speaking to you to go to college and get a higher education, well, God bless you. The problem in it is that the world has crept into higher education and there's no real religious standards in higher education. Most of the Ivy League schools, or all of them really, were started out as seminaries. Every single one. Yale, Princeton, Cornell. What's the other one? Yale, Harvard, yeah. Harvard. They were all meant for men to go into the ministry. And we see just 300 years later, not very many come out for the ministry. And so what happens is good intentions go into these houses and the first thing they're told is how to think for yourself. Well, I call that how to be indoctrinated by them because they're in control of your grades. And if your grades, if you need good grades, you will begin to change the way you think so that you can get the grades that you need. If not, it's going to be really hard. Am I telling the truth, Nick? It's very, very hard because they don't want people of faith in there. They want to destroy your faith. And after 4 years or 5 years, they have succeeded in doing that. And it comes very difficult for a person who has had the foundation laid in Christ, to go out into the highways and say, I'm going to go and influence people in such a way that, you know what, my job is going to be good, my job is going to be secure, and I'm going to use it for the purposes of God. What happens in reality is we begin to start saying things like, I need a good job so I can get a house, and then I get my family, and then I blah, 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 down the road. All of it is about me, not what God says. And so Satan does his hatchet job on us, and you know, even in those schools, and Becky, this is for you, even in the religious institutions, you need to be very careful in, because just because they have a chapel that they emphasize does not mean that they're there for spiritual reasons. You know, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And this is where Satan has done a hatchet job in Western society, because at one time we were one of the world's exporters of evangelists throughout the world. And now today we are one of the most imported countries of evangelists coming into this world. Just to show you how subtle in our history of 300 years, how that has changed. And Satan has waited for such a glorious time as this. What has he done? Because we're focused on outward things and we're not focused on ourselves, we believe that education is good. What Satan has done is infiltrated our hearts to influence us with the world and its devices and things and trinkets, and diverted us from the cause of Jesus Christ. But that's not all he has done. He has corrupted us. He has made us covetous. He has made us callous to the things of God. So much so that we're more worldly than we are righteous. And that's the condition of God's church today. Satan is willing to allow us to indulge in any sinful delight, because after all, he has turned us into thieves and liars and prostitutes before God. And the problem is, most of the church is unaware, and those that are don't care. And this is the subtle deception that has come upon Western society, in that we have boasted education as a need. And believe me, if God is speaking to you to be a brain surgeon, well, you know what? I don't want you to go to the desert and figure out how to cut up my skull. I want you to have that education. I definitely want that. If he wants you to be a lawyer, and thank God for Nick, she is, and her heart's right before God, that it hadn't been twisted and turned. She's going to be used of God in great ways to influence that sphere of people, that he's going to bring her to kings and ambassadors and stuff in such a way that she's going to say, so, you really think you're a good person? Let me talk to you about this. We have to begin to throw off those shackles. You know, there's nothing wrong with someone being a plumber. There's nothing wrong about a person being a carpenter. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what happens is, because we're in the enemy's territory, we forget one important ingredient. We're so focused on Satan that we forget that he has an army. Let me tell you some stuff about his army. His army is driving the church to hell. They're here right now. And they're whispering in your ear, trying to distract you from the truth that I'm trying to share with you. They are disciplined. They are organized. They hold to the strictest military code. And they are totally devoted to the dictator that they serve, and his name's Satan. They are angels that have fallen with Satan, whom he deceived when he tried to take over heaven. And they fell. One third of heaven's angels fell with Satan. And if you look at that listing, you can start seeing that, you know, when Jesus confronted the demoniac who had 1,000 demons in him, and he asked him what his name was, he said, "My name is Legion." And he cast them out into the swine. The swine were smart enough to go and kill themselves because they knew they didn't want a demon. But yet, we embrace them. Almost to the point that we worship them. And this is Western culture, because now Eastern mysticism and all New Age stuff. Do you understand that in schools they're teaching the first elements of yoga to your children? Do you understand this? This is what's going on in your schools. Do you understand that when they get to fourth or fifth grade, they are learning to channel with their spiritual guides? It's happening. And these groupings are here to show you that, you know, when you open yourselves up, you know, I take my son, we go to karate and judo and all this stuff. It's just for the exercise. You're opening a door. You're opening a spiritual door. My kids can find exercise other ways. I don't need to open up a door for a demon to come into my house. And then when he picks and chooses to blow me up, I'm going to say, "What happened? How did this occur? Oh my goodness." It just shows the ignorance of the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is what God is trying to get us to understand, that we should not be friends or embracing the things of the world to be put into our children, because they will eventually have demons put into them, and then we're going to have to open up a deliverance ministry to cast these demons out. That's another subject. These demons were active. So active that they influenced Peter's mother, that Jesus had to cast that spirit of a fever out of her. They were bold, arrogant, and defiant, and they're sacrilegious. So much so that they caused Judas to betray the Lord Jesus, although that was the plan. They infiltrated Peter. So that Peter became a proponent of Satan's will, saying, "Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. That far be with you." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Away with you, Satan, for you don't have the things or the mind of the things for the will of God." Or they influenced the sons of Zebedee, James and John, to call down fire. And Jesus rebuked them, saying, "You don't know what spirit you are. I didn't come to destroy man. I came to save him." See, that's the spirit of a destroyer, which should be on that list. Which I don't think I put in there. You see, they even buffeted Paul. That Paul said, "You know, I had this thorn in my side." And you take that word thorn, and it's about the demons. It's not about a physical thorn. It's about demons oppressing or trying to suppress him from continuing furthering. And we have demons every day telling us, "You can't go and share the gospel with Jesus Christ. Ooh, what will they think about you? Ooh." He may be even saying that to you right now. "Well, I'm not an evangelist." You got to start sometime. We don't recognize the enemy. God says you can. When something's in there trying to tell you to focus on yourself and what you can't do, it's not God. God says you can do all things through me. everything from me. Well, it takes just a little bit of faith, and you can do it. That's the first step of recognizing what's going on in your mind. Because as long as they can play havoc in your head, you won't do anything. You will be stuck in neutral, and you will backslide. And in that backslidden condition, you'll stop supporting ministries. You'll stop supporting outreach. You'll stop giving to God His tithe, which is His. You'll stop attending meetings. You'll stop promoting the things of the kingdom in your home. These are just subtle things that happen. If you look at Job and you see what happened, in Job 1 it says, God says to Satan, do you consider my righteous servant, Job? My righteous servant, Job. What position are you in? Are you in Jesus Christ, thereby becoming the righteousness of God in Him? Or are you standing just close enough to the umbrella of God's righteousness, allowing the devil to speak to you in such a way that you're closer to sinning than you are closer to standing in righteousness? And that's a very, very dangerous position to find yourself in. And these demons are speaking these lies into our lives, speaking these deceptions into our lives. We see in Daniel 10 the reality of this warfare. Daniel was positioning God for understanding, and it took 3 weeks for the message to come to Daniel. Why? Because there was a spiritual warfare going on that Gabriel had to come, or Michael had to come to help this other angel to get the message to Daniel. And in our Western culture, they minimize the spiritual realm because they say to our people that are being educated, that's old wives' tales. It's fairy tale. It's not real. They dismiss it. And what happens is we buy into this lie that I get this education, I get this wonderful job, you know, I start buying all this stuff on time. We're violating kingdom principles. We're starting being fed by a spirit of materialism. And the next thing you know, we're starting to wonder, how am I going to pay for this? Well, I'm going to work more hours. You know, I ain't got time to go and be edified at the Wednesday life groups. I got to work overtime. I got to do this. My kids are in every sport. You just name it, they're in it. And I have to go over there. I can't be at this. And what happens is we're chasing our tail. Believe me, I was there. I did it. I'm speaking from experience. And Satan and his horde will get you to chase your tail so much that you, by the time you realize how far away from God you are, you're actually in spiritual death. These demons come in and they begin to start putting pressure on you. They start speaking these things. Oh, you know what? I got a headache. I'm just not feeling too good. Let me go to the doctors. And so it begins. We go to the doctors. We get diagnosed. Oh, okay. Now I need medicine. Oh, I get the medicine. Now I'm feeling better. I take it all the way through. It comes back. How is that possible that this comes back? Well, Jesus said that, you know, if you cast out a demon and it goes away, it looks for another house to go. But it says to itself, you know what? I'll go back to my house. I'm going to bring 7 more demons worse than me. And you find that person's condition worse. Luke 11:26. And so the headache has now become all kinds of body aches. Has become, you know, all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. We become a carrier of this. We become to start to profess this negative stuff. And Job said, that which I have feared, because these demons feed on our fear, that which I have feared has now come upon me. Is that not in Job? It is. What you say is what you get. Life or death. Jesus said, or God said, there's life and death in the tongue. Our pastor don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Just remember, when you need me, call me up. I'll come. And we'll deal with it. We repeat the process. Our condition gets worse. Next thing you know, we have cancer. Oh my gosh, how did I get this? You know, I never smoke. I never drank. It's demonically inspired. Well, it's in my DNA. No. Oh, no. Don't ever buy that lie. It's not a time-release capsule. The only thing time-released is Jesus Christ. You have a new DNA. You're spiritual people. More powerful than anything that has ever walked the earth other than Jesus Christ. You're even more powerful than these demons. You see, these demons, although they can inflict much damage, although they can suggest much things, although they can deceive us tremendously, their power is not absolute. Your power is absolute in Jesus Christ. All power and authority has been given to Him. And the Son gives power and authority to whom He wills. If I'm part of His body, He is the head. Guess where Satan is? We just sang it today. Under your feet. You have all power and authority. Why aren't you using it? Oh, well, you see, I got to go take my kids. And I'm not talking about scrapes and falls and stuff. Yeah, you get medical treatment if you don't know how. Do that. But can't you see how insidious this is? The finances that are being used to further the cause of Jesus Christ is now spent on us. And that's why I say the deception is we have prostituted ourselves for a trinket, for selfish reward, forsaking the eternal gift of salvation. How great the deception is in the church. And in the world, it's even greater. Education is not evil. Money is not evil. It's the heart attitude behind it. God wants to educate us. He wants us to get the education. He wants to promote us so that we can influence every sphere of society. Every sphere. He died for the poor as He did for the ultra wealthy. George Soros needs to get saved, although he does not believe in God. Jesus still died for him. Those of you who do not know George Soros is trying to promote a one world system, and he is actively working with his minions to bring that about so that Antichrist can come into the scene. He has a Jewish root about him, and yet he is bent on the destruction of Israel. I can't comprehend that. I just can't comprehend that. And when they say there's no God, I look at the Jews. Really? They've been here for 6,000 years, almost. We should fearlessly, church, declare the wondrous gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He destroyed the works of the enemy. Are you afraid of your house being topsy-turvy? Are you afraid of what He might do so you don't do anything? Well, I'm here to tell you that He's going to mess with you whether you do something or don't do something. Because you lay claim to Jesus Christ. You are part of streams of life. And streams of life is going through stuff. If I told you the stuff that's going through people's lives, even in my life, it would make your hair stand up. Mine left, okay? So the object here is to get into battle. If I'm going to get assaulted, guess what? I'm getting into the battle. I'm going to declare the kingdom of God fearlessly. Because my Bible says the church prevails, not Satan. My belief is the body of Christ prevails, that not even the gates of hell can withstand it. And if we're not willing to stand up for Jesus Christ, who died for us and showing us as an example, that He loved the whole world, He died for the whole world, that we can't die to ourselves and our wants and evil desires enough to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to go and be edified when the church is assembling. Because in Hebrews it talks about those who fade away. They're not even assembling themselves, even as they see the day coming, because the days are growing darker. We need to be more educated about our enemy, the tactics that he uses. We need to take to heart the realities of things that we have done and renounce them and forsake them. We need to tell our friends and family members that the truth of Jesus Christ is you're a new creation, not some lowly person. You are highly esteemed by God. What the world doesn't esteem, God does. And so if you're not in position or rank or influence or money, you're still highly esteemed by God because He paid for your sin and mine. We need to be fearless about it. We need to go out there and harvest God's fields. Not wait for someone else to do it, because this is all attached to our rewards. Not only am I responsible to teach you and prepare things for you, I'm also in the fields looking whom I may win to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you that as we continue on this spiritual warfare, to really think about the things that you've been involved in the past, things that you're involved in presently, and really take to heart and submit it to God. And see what He says about it. And then line it up with His Word. Because His Word and His character do not change. And if there's things that we're doing, and we're expecting to be blessed, but we're in disobedience, then we are not in the body of Christ. We're next to it. Remember that teaching years ago about the tank, on the tank, and around the tank? He wants us in the tank. If we're scurrying to be around the tank, to get up on the tank, to get into the tank, that's a good thing to do. But to stay where we are is not an option. We need to be in Jesus Christ. Only then are we secure. Only then is my relationship to Him such that will enable me to become all that I have been bought for and trained to do. You are greater than you could ever imagine. There is more power in your finger than what the enemy has to throw against you. It is the truth. What can he do? We saw what happened to Job. Everything was taken from him, except I'm pretty sure he probably was hoping his wife would go. I don't wish that on anybody. But, you know, she needed to repent. She needed to get right. And his friends needed to stop feeding into his self-righteousness. We are promised a life of turmoil, of stress, of tribulation in this world. But we are promised great rewards in the kingdom to come. A little bit now, whole lot, good stuff later. I like that trade. Revelation 12:11. They overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not even care about their lives, even unto death. Maybe you care too much about your life and not about His. As we go forward, as we continue on, we're preparing for Williamstown Day. You know, I just want to encourage you guys that you know, this thing is real. This thing is real. And the closer you are in Jesus, the more solidified you are in Jesus, the more permission that Satan needs to have from God to attack you. That's the truth. That's what's spoken out of Job. And that's the lesson we need to know. Because even if he has permission to take everything away, God is so good that he promises us the double portion, which is found in the first son. And I tell you to go look at, study double portion blessings. You have a double portion in Jesus Christ. God will restore twice as much as what you had. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, God. I thank you that you are unveiling and shedding light into our hearts and our minds, God. That you're removing the deception. You're making us uncomfortable, God. But God, I would rather be uncomfortable and get rid of the junk that's in my life than to walk in disobedience and deception and wonder if I even have a place at your table. God, God, forgive us. Forgive us for being so infantile and juvenile. Forgive us, God. Help us. Challenge us, God, to go forth into your fields and bring in your harvest, God. The hour is late, the days are short, and the time is right, because your coming is closer today than it was yesterday, God. Holy Spirit, do your work and convict us and then lead us to go into the enemy's camp and bring back what he stole. In Jesus' name, amen.